I think one of the things that America has to face is the reality that it is an empire.
No, you mustn't use it. You mustn't use it because it make you rebel. Against what?
They were in front of Radio 8, shooting at the station.
No es un crimen defender nuestros propios derechos como pueblos indígenas.
Greetings and blessings. You're listening to Travelog Media. I'm Jason Claral, sending this transmission from my secret bunker in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, I have a very special surprise announcement, so you'll definitely want to stick around and find out. We have some current events to talk about. We have a featured revolutionary, Dr. Vandana Shiva, author of the book Staying Alive, which is something I think has been on just about everyone's mind these days. Stay tuned. Okay, my friends, the time has come for a very special announcement, I promised. So I am now in the fourth year of podcasting, and so far it's been only me talking, so we're going to add another voice to the mix. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's an honor to introduce co-host Valeria Ayeri. Valeria, welcome to the madness.
I love it. I love the bunker. It's really cozy.
Yeah, it's a great bunker.
Yeah, thank you for the invite.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Valeria, you've been on the show before as a guest on the Spanish edition. But for the English-speaking listeners out there, could you just give us a little bit of an introduction, who you are, where you are, how you got there?
Okay. So I'm from Guatemala, and I've been working as a volunteer since Guatemala signed peace in 1996. I was 16 when we signed the peace, and I got involved immediately. And because of that involvement, I decided to commit my life to serve others. And somehow I have managed to fulfill that. I'm not a nun. You know, I have to find always how to get involved, how to support my community, how to be an activist. And during almost 10 years of my life, I managed to do that through the Entremundos magazine, which is a publication that I found in Quetzaltenango in the highlands of Guatemala. And I found it a month after I moved to Xela. And I went to offer myself as a volunteer. I knock on Entremundo's door and I said, I want to work here and you guys need an editor. So you need to hire me. And I got hired, and then the head chief, the editor in chief, she retired. Well, she moved, she left Xela, and they hired me as the editor in chief. So I start working as the editor in chief. And my view, maybe because of all my volunteer work with rural communities, my view was always to include them. Because normally in media, they portray them as the victims or they portray them as the perpetrators, but they don't give people in the cities enough background to so they can understand why and how and you know, the reasons for whatever they are being portrayed. So I decided to give a lot of voices to the communities. We decided to, and this was like a collective decision with Entremundos because the board agreed on it and my director at that point in Entremundos agreed with it. And so we start moving the organizations towards that aim, and it worked really good. We managed, I would say in 2 years, we managed to have a network of more than 100 organizations. And then Entremundos start giving them workshops, and I start publishing on the pages the work that these NGOs were performing, because normally in traditional media, you get the NGOs that are portrayed are the NGOs from big corporations that these big corporations use to, you know, wipe out their conscience by giving out some funding. But the real ones, the grassroots organizations, are the ones that are left behind. So we decided to give them a voice. And yeah, based on that, I worked in Entremundos for 9 years. And then I opened my own restaurant. And that was very stressful. So I had, and I also had a baby. I have 2 older kids, so I have 3 kids. And it was, and Entremundos was my volunteer work. I wasn't getting paid and I needed some money. So, you know, I needed to put all my time and devotion to the restaurant. And that's why I decided to leave Entremundos. And I dedicated to the restaurant. And then because my husband is from the United States, and due to some things with his family, we have to move. Well, we travel here, and, you know, our idea was to go back. But with this lockdown, because Guatemala has been implementing severe lockdowns, with this lockdown and with the coronavirus, we rely on hostels and restaurants, and our businesses are closed right now. So I think we will have to stay here because we don't have, right now, I don't have a job to go back to, and neither does he. So I don't know. Is that too personal?
Right.
Very personal on our first date. Well,
this is great. Obviously the pandemic has affected everything. So, and you want to talk about a little bit about where you are now, or maybe not so much?
Yeah, I'm in the United States. I'm here as a legal resident. And, you know, the kids are going to school here because of my husband. They can have dual citizenship. And we are here. I've been working as a freelance writer. That's what I've been doing. I've been publishing. I've been working as a content creator. And I've been volunteering, but I live in a very small rural town, and it's a part of Washington that it's more to the center, like closer to Idaho, I think. Mm-hmm. So that this is where I am.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for being willing to be part of Travelog Media, and we will be bringing shows every third Thursday in the English language channel. So I also have a Spanish language channel that will be first Fridays. So so welcome. It's an honor to have you here. And so we're gonna dive right in. The first thing we'll talk about is this actually has going back to Entremundos, which is where I am actually, and the only reason I know about this next story is I was asked to translate to English an article in Entremundos magazine. So that's how I found out about this next story we're going to talk about, which is the horrible, horrible killing of Domingo Chuck, an indigenous Maya leader. It's like many of us, we're still trying to make sense of this. Let me just, I guess I'll just read the first part of the Entremundos article, and then we can go into it a little bit more. So on June 6th, this is from the article, on June 6th, Domingo Chakche was murdered in a horrendous crime because of his life practices. He was a Maya spiritual guide that, according to Monica Berger, a worker at the University of Guatemala Valley, quote, was a guide committed to preserving and transmitting ancestral knowledge about the protection of Mother Nature and her medicine to new generations and the world, unquote. A group of residents from Chimé, San Luis Petén set fire to Domingo, and he died from the severity of the act. They were accusing him of being a witch and of being responsible for the death of a person from the area. And the most recent news we have is that four people have been arrested. And Prensa Libre printed the names. I'm not so sure I want to do that, but wait, whatever.
I can read them.
So where do you want to begin with this?
Yeah. So the first reaction, you know, the first news agencies that reported this start saying that people from his own village start calling him the witch doctor.
Hmm.
And they were upset. They were upset that he was a witch doctor. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I know a couple of things about Guatemala. And it's that, one, we were in a 36-year-old civil war that scarred the souls of everyone. Even if they didn't know that they were on war, it scarred us. And I think we haven't had the time to heal. So I don't know what triggered this, but lynching is something, unfortunately, something normal in Guatemalan society. And that's the sad part of this, that, you know, by setting him on fire, by lynching him, they destroyed all his legacy. And it saddens me. It saddens me deeply because the structural racism in our government, we never really had chance to hear about him until he was dead. Mm-hmm. It saddens me because the structural racism always had him, maybe helped that he carried within himself the shadow of, yes, he's a witch doctor, instead of, you know, being considered, you know, a man of wisdom, a man of science, because after he was killed, we find out in Guatemala that the British embassy was actually trying to have him write his book about Guatemalan herbalism. All that knowledge is lost now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lost in part because people are very violent. In how much, until what extent, you know, are we all part of that as a society? Because you're talking about a country that it's very violent. That's how we were raised. You know, I was raised during the war, and I remember one thing that has struck me a lot from me moving to the States is people here plan their retirement. They plan everything. Everything is planned.
Mm-hmm.
In Guatemala, I had the present. And my mom was the same, and my grandma was the same, and we didn't really prepare. I know it sounds horrible, but we don't. But I think it was because of the war. The war teaches you to stay in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And because the war teaches you to stay in the present, sometimes doesn't allow you to see what's out there. And if you don't take the time to deconstruirte, like, you know, unbuild yourself, rearrange your priorities, you tend to miss valuable lives like Domingo Choc.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very sad what happened to him, and it's regrettable, and something needs to be done. I'm not calling people to riot because, again, they already caught the four people that were responsible, and now there's people in the village, in the own village, saying that they were evangelicals.
Mm.
But now there are people saying that they were also Mayan priests.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fighting with each other. So we don't really know but one thing is certain. Racism is structuralized in Guatemalan policies, education, government offices, and that is certain, and that needs to be taken away in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd just like to read a little bit from the Guardian piece. A friend of mine wrote for the Guardian, Jeff Abbott. I will, of course, link to that and also the other, the Entremundos article. Mm-hmm. But just let me, I'll just read a little quote from this article. Prior to the peace accords, there was a clear persecution of Maya spiritual guides and traditional herbalists, said Claudius Samayoa, one of the founders of the human rights organization Udafegua. But Guatemala has not managed to dismantle this vision from colonial times that practicing, quote, witchcraft deserves death, unquote, Samoya said. There are neo-Pentecostal churches and some expressions of Catholicism that continue to consider the practice of Maya spirituality as a form of witchcraft. So, yeah, it's very much rooted in religion and the other... The Entremundus article also mentions, you know, the introduction of evangelical churches in Guatemala in the 1980s. So,
yeah, I read that one. Yeah. I read the one Entremundus.
Mm-hmm. So it really is, you know, I guess the people that do these things are, you know, they actually believe that this is related to Satan or, you know, anything, of the natural world is somehow related to is satanic or related
to witchcraft. It's a big stigma.
Yeah.
It is a big stigma, but it's rooted in ignorance. Mm-hmm. And that's why every program that I've supported, it's through education that you're going to achieve change. That's what I think, at least. Because they're ignorant. And the thing is that they follow, there's not like a certification. In Guatemala, anyone can become a pastor. Mm-hmm. If you can feel the call today, you can start your own church tomorrow.
Mm.
And you start collecting money from them. There is no regulation at all.
Mm.
Wow. There has to be, you know, there has to be something, because then you have all these leaders, but who's there to say they're really Christian, you know, that they really follow Jesus's teachings?
Mm-hmm.
Who's there to say they are really good people? Mm-hmm. Because if they're good people, I don't know if you noticed, there's a church in every block in Guatemala.
Just about.
Right? And everyone has their sticker saying Jesus is great. And don't get me wrong, I am a Christian. I'm just don't go with the who is dictating or where do these people, who are they accountable to?
Right.
Because it can start like that. There has also other things, you know, there's also other cases of evangelicals just going wrong. But with Domingo Choc, the stigma that being indigenous, there's been an indigenous man of science, there's been an Ajkij, which is a Mayan priest, the stigma that comes with him, it is deeply rooted in colonialism. And I think it needs to change, because it will, unfortunately, it will still be the same. And, you know, the thing is that they weren't able to speak, the indigenous communities weren't able to speak, because during the war, if you spoke, you would get killed.
Right.
Just by raising a little bit your voice. So it's very complex, because on one side we don't, you know, they don't hesitate on organize themselves and kill a man. Mm-hmm. And they didn't call police, they didn't care about the law, they didn't care about anything. But on the other hand, you have all these people that are afraid to speak up. So but there has never been an effort to heal from the war. And it's like the whole society, the whole Guatemalan society, it's actionating on a post-traumatic syndrome type of thing.
Right.
That they have to heal from. So the killing of Domingo is just a symptom of the disease that is rotten in the entire country.
Right. Yeah, and this is something that's in recent memory. This is part of what I want to do with this podcast is, you know, raise people's awareness about what is going on beyond beyond U.S. borders, because I think a lot of estadounidenses just honestly can't be bothered to inform themselves, educate themselves about what's going on outside the borders, you know. Not all the time, but it's, and I'm sure it's getting better, but it's, but this is something just, you know, very recent memory, the 36 year armed conflict. And that was only 1996, right? So that was, you know, we're talking about very recent history.
So we're still, we signed it in 1996.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a country that just are living in real, you know, between brackets, democracy, for the past 24 years.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Before that, it was the armed conflict, and before that, it was just various forms of dictatorship through militaries that just got into power with corruption, through corruption, that just stuck in it, like leeches for years. And then we did have a very democratic government for 10 years. And that government is the one that built everything that still works in Guatemala.
Right.
Those 10 years of revolution built the highways that you know, the hospitals that you know, the schools that you know. It's crazy. And then it's been nothing but, I don't know how to say saqueo in English, but it's a form of theft,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, constant, repetitive theft after theft to the same place.
Right.
Until they bleed it out. Mm. Guatemala is, it's sad. And Domingo is just another victim of this structure that it's, you know, crushing everyone's bones. Mm-hmm. 4 million people in Guatemala live with $1 a day.
Yeah.
Just $1 a day to pay for their housing, the food, the water, just $1. The system, there's machinery in every country, I feel. But the machinery that is operating in Guatemala is really cracking the bones of everyone, including in along with that, the cracking of the bones, they're also breaking down their consciousness and their mind and their human side, because everyone is on survival mode.
Right. Well, this that's my goal for this podcast, is to be a counter-colonial agent and to inform, educate, to the extent that I can, about what's going on in this part of the world and elsewhere. So I want to, first of all, just let me mention that I will put links to the articles on Domingo Choc, and we will of course follow the developments of the story. What's going on? How people will respond? You can also find information about how to do a direct bank transfer if you feel inclined and are able to. That is in the Entremundos article. So look
to their family.
To the family, yes.
Yes.
To deal with funeral and other related costs. And so look for those in the show notes. I will put links to those if you want to contribute and just read the articles. So I encourage that. Thank you for listening to Travelog Media. We'll be right back after a short music break. This is Mr. Sun by Robero. So let's we are inundated with tragedies, it seems, and crises, it seems like.
It's, I know, right?
So it's important to try to keep a positive forward momentum. Like, you know, we're seeing a lot of, you know, emotions, of course, are still running high in the wake of the George Floyd killing. And yeah, this will, all kinds of people are dealing with that. And yeah, so I think it's important to focus on people who are doing, you know, making positive changes. So we have, I mentioned in the intro, we have a featured revolutionary, someone I think who is doing, throughout her life has dedicated her life to bringing about, some positive changes. And we'll talk about that next. She, of course, this is, Dr. Vandana Shiva I'm talking about. And yeah, so let's see. Did you want to add anything before we, maybe on the, I don't know that you're where you are.
Yeah.
There's probably not lots of rioting in the streets, but maybe you want to add some things, some comments on the movement for Black Lives and George Floyd and anything.
Okay,
along that.
Yeah. So I ended up the last comment on a very dark note, but I want to say movements like Black Lives Matter, those are so important, Jason. They are vital for this type of societies like Guatemala and like the oppression. There's so many countries in one country, you know, just like there are so many United States within the United States. It happens the same in Guatemala. It happens the same in Mexico, because we're not the same. Even though we share the same nationality in Guatemala, we're not the same. But Black Lives Matter, it gives me a lot of hope, because it is bringing attention to issues that shouldn't exist anymore. It also saddens me that we need to go through this to create other people, to have other people realizing what racism isn't and what racism is not, and to ask themselves about, you know, their how can they help and all that. But yeah, I think it's all related, right? And Domingo Choc's killing happened while the whole United States was touched by George Floyd's death. And if you think about it, they both died kind of the same cause. A racist state that denies people sanity.
Right. Yeah. And humanity. Yeah. There's, some people get to have their humanity recognized and others do not. Sadly, that's the way things are currently operating, but we're going to change it, right? I want to talk about people who are doing really amazing work. I think we're going to do, we'll talk about different people throughout the show so we can, but I want to talk about Vandana Shiva, and I want to play a clip from the, she was recently featured at the Indian Summer Festival, which, like everything else since the pandemic, has had to be held online. So, but I was watching that, and I'd like to play a clip from that. Basically, she is responding to a question about You know, how do we, quote unquote, go back to normal? Like everyone's talking about, you know, restarting the economy, you know, and getting things back to business, so to speak. But, you know, a lot of us are like, whoa, wait a minute, hang on. it wasn't really working well for many of us before. So, and there are definitely those who have taken full advantage of the COVID-19 crisis and have done quite well while many of us are struggling. So her response, we'll play this clip in a minute, and she's talking about the separation of ecology, our language, and how the terms ecology and economy have been separated. So this is really interesting. So let's listen to that.
You know, I think one of the things that I have witnessed get very genetically manipulated is our concepts, our words, our vocabulary. After all, economy is derived from the same word oikos, from which ecology is derived. And managing the household is what all indigenous cultures have done, what women did. And then they had to do the witch hunts to drive women out of managing the households. If you look at the literature on the witch hunts in early modern Europe, it's all about that expertise that was in harmony with the earth. And when I wrote my first book, Staying Alive, because my publishers heard me give my talk in 1985 at the Nairobi Women's Summit, I went into the roots of how did we divide ourselves and separate ecology and economy, separate humans from nature, create hierarchies between men and women, treat indigenous people as barbarians and uncivilized. And it didn't evolve. It was imposed. After all, the Chancellor of England became the father of a new modern science and wrote a book, The Birth of Masculine Science. Yeah, The Masculine Birth of Time, he called it. That separation is masculinity. Domination is masculinity. Enclosing the commons became property, Locke. Controlling people and not letting them self-organize, as all indigenous cultures do, then became politics. So none of this. I think we should have a bonfire of these people who created such a mess. But more importantly, since neoliberalism, making money became the religion of our times. You know, it was deregulated commerce. Everything that our cultures have said was morally unacceptable. And I went back, I'm writing a dictionary on the economy. Aristotle talked about economy and the art of living. We've always done that. And he called crematistics the art of money making. And I think we must distinguish this, because in the period by millions, like I said, half of India, 40 million in the United States, everywhere people just lost their livelihoods, which is part of economia as a living. In that short period, now in this 1.5 months, the super rich made 434 billion additional. That's crematistics. Jeff Bezos, who's trying to destroy every little shop, he destroyed the publishers, now trying to destroy every little shop of India. They're trying to make it look like if you buy fresh vegetables, it's dangerous for your health. Our food safety authority says you must go via Amazon with its heavy, heavy footprint. Jeff Bezos became richer, $24 billion during this short 1 month of lockdown. And BlackRock, which holds all the money of the billionaires and then gambles with this money to say, where can we make the quickest money, burn the Amazon for GM soya? BlackRock, $23 trillion assets. So crematistics has grown, but economia has shrunk. And we need to grow the economy in alignment with the earth according to the rules that indigenous cultures evolved with so much discipline, with so much sanctity. And crematistics must be rendered a crime, and that's where our new democratic energy will have to go.
So she starts off talking about language, which is really important, and how when people say economy, what does that really mean? Like, we want to get the economy back going, and but what does that mean? So she, I think it was really interesting that she talks about criministics. She introduced this term, criministics, the art of making money, which is, I think, what people are actually talking about when they're talking about the economy, right? Just making money. some people are making money, and others not so much. So I just thought that was, just very interesting. How these terms have become separate, how ecology has become separate from ecology or economy.
Yeah. To serve whose purpose, right?
Exactly.
I like what she says, you know, how Aristotle said that economy was actually the art of living. Mm-hmm. That was very, but now they're just, economy just separates humans from nature. And, you know, the colonial view, she mentions it there, the colonial view that, you know, to treat indigenous as barbarians. That's the first thing they see. And I saw a meme somewhere that said, when a white architect builds a big building, it's like the building gets his name, you know, his last name and all that. But when people stand in front of the Mayan ruins and in front of other structures from native pueblos, mm-hmm. they always see the aliens. That's a form of racism.
Right.
They didn't think they were, you know, it's what Vandana Shiva says, they always treat indigenous as barbarians. And it's not like that. In the clearness, what I love the most is what she said, that economy and ecology should be aligned according to the rules of the first people, according to the indigenous people. Because they are the ones that, one, have been taking care of the land for longer than us, and two, they are the ones that have been studying the land.
Right.
In order to take care of it, right? Because then we come with our civilization and we just start digging, but we don't make it self-sustainable. They did. They've been living off it. So we should, you know, have a view of the world more open, where we can embrace that. Vandana Shiva is remarkable. She's not only a scientist, but an activist, and you don't see that a lot. I think it's remarkable.
Right, right. Yeah, I can't say enough about her work. So, but I wanted to just briefly preview her book called Staying Alive, which she mentioned in the clip, which was, I guess, her first book published in 1988. So I think, like, even though it's been so long since it was first published, it's still very much relevant. And mm-hmm. you are, so the full, let's see, let me get the full name of it. It's, hang on. Let me see here.
I love her view. You know, there's a lot of currents for feminism. Ecofeminism is one of them.
Right.
And I think she's referring to, and I love it. I love it because then, you know, another, not only indigenous communities have that stigma, women have the stigma of being witches, right?
Right, exactly.
But Vandana Shiva talks about, like, a more open view of the world, where you embrace the healing powers of nature through the person that has been trying them for longer, which is women.
Right, right, exactly.
I love that. I love that idea about her. It's amazing.
Yeah, so I'd like to, maybe in future episodes we can talk more about this book, but it's called Staying Alive, Women, Ecology, and Development. And development, actually, that's a good segue into what I was going to talk about, just the quote, because that is something that when we talk about, like, you know, quote-unquote third world and first world, you know, the... or, you know, underdeveloped countries. Where did we get this idea of development and, you know, whose terms, right? So I'll get the quote here. Here it is. So this is from her book, Staying Alive. I want to argue that what is currently called development is essentially maldevelopment based on the introduction or accentuation of the domination of man over nature and women. In it, both are viewed as the other, the passive non-self. Activity, productivity, creativity, which were associated with the feminine principle, are expropriated as qualities of nature and women and transformed into the exclusive qualities of man. Nature and women are turned into passive objects to be used and exploited for the uncontrolled and uncontrollable desires of alienated man. From being the creators and sustainers of life, nature and women are reduced to being resources in the fragmented anti-life model of maldevelopment. So I really had a hard time picking out a quote because, I mean, there's just so, yeah, the whole book's amazing so far. I haven't finished it, but, so that's a little preview. And also I want to introduce this, I want to talk a little bit about this term, Satyagraha. So if you go with, Wikipedia's, if you believe Wikipedia, I'm going to go with Wikipedia for now. Sanskrit, satya, truth, and agraha is insistence or holding firmly to. So I really like that idea. That was, I guess, coined by Gandhi. If you believe Wikipedia, maybe it has other roots, but yeah, holding firmly to truth. And, so that's, and it has a connection to civil disobedience, which is, I think, you know, something that's been central to any meaningful social change.
Yeah. Satyagraha. That's so interesting.
Satyagraha, yeah. And she... I think, you know, we're talking about, like, everyone's, you know, since the George Floyd protests around the world have started, everyone's, you know, we've heard a lot of criticism about, like, what's the right way to protest this kind of injustice. And, So I don't know. I just thought I wanted to share that because I thought it was a good way to think about, you know, how we're like when you're protesting, when you're trying to make change, this insistence on truth.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's different for everybody. Everyone has a different version of their truth, but I think that can be that can be a good idea to hold on to.
Yeah, at least, it's very difficult to say who has achieved the truth, right? But at least if you're looking for the truth, you're going to start getting some movement in your life, and then most likely you will be more fair and you will be different and you will work towards a positive change, not only for you, but for your community. I think the whole point, you know, I've heard a lot about in here right now with the George Floyd's protest going on, how people should do it. I have also heard it a lot in Guatemala when the feminists go out and they paint the statues and they paint the walls of the metro, the Transmetro, and, you know, they paint everything and they break the glasses. What people don't know, it's that all that anger that you have to just swallow and swallow and swallow, because for some people, it's only just a little tiny episode in their lives. But for some others, it's our whole lives, living, you know, under the scrutiny, being, you know, discriminated, communities, 500 years of discrimination against. So the search for truth, I think it's very hopeful, because if you have that in mind, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but at least you will be moving towards the right direction.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't have much more for, I think we were going to talk about, a film, but maybe we can leave that for the next time, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I have mentioned this film, the documentary film is called, When a Tree Falls. It's a documentary about the Earth Liberation Front, which is another component of all this, how everything is, you know, everything's related, everything's connected, right? So, but maybe we can leave it for next time.
It's up to you. You tell me.
I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we...
About Vandana?
Or anything, yeah, anything at all about what we've covered so far?
I've had a long life of activism, and I have a long life of trying to help others, trying to help myself, trying to deconstruct myself. I don't know if that's a word in English.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, to what I was saying at the beginning, reorganizing my priorities and studying. And I feel that the world is not such a bad place. I feel there's a lot of hope. And watching those protesters, I'm not talking about the ones, you know, that they were just smashing the things, although I understand their anger. Mm-hmm. But just watching all these people this week, it was very sad, because Domingo died, and because, you know, George Floyd, and because probably a lot of other people that we don't know of are dying, like Bolsonaro is persecuting a lot of indigenous leaders. But even though that, we are still alive and we have a voice. And I feel that right now there's a lot of channels where we can put that voice and be heard. Mm-hmm. Others can join us. And I feel hopeful. I feel very optimistic about it.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I would go so far as feeling optimistic. I don't know, but I agree though. We need to use our voices. And so to the extent that that's possible, I'm going to keep doing this podcast, and we're going to, you know, hopefully get some people to interview on this show who are making some things happen and being positive and making the world a little bit better because we're definitely going through some really rough times.
Yeah.
But I think that some good changes can come out of it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, that's all I have. Thanks for being here and agreeing to do this. I can't thank you enough. But I really do appreciate it.
No worries, Hoskins Own. Wasn't that?
What's that?
Clips from Ken's Own.
Oh. Ken's Own. I don't have those quite ready. I might add those in. I can add those in.
Oh, yeah.
I'll add those in at the end. Yeah. Okay. So yes, Ken Zone. Yeah. So
you don't have to tell me.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be better to keep it as a mystery for those who, I won't spoil it. So Ken Zone, we're going to listen to a couple of some comments from Ken Zone.
Morning, Ken Zone here. I just completed a short paper entitled New Models, which starts off with a quote. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. That's the quote from Bucky Fuller. Well, here are some new models. Here are some new models of monumental proportions. These new models can and will transform humanity and our home planet for its upliftment in across-the-board healing and its harmonious evolution, which means sustainable and blessed. Speaking of the laws of nature, humanity's boon finally presented itself when on June 28, 2019, Salvatore Cesar Pace filed a patent for an anti-gravity flying black triangle craft called TR-3B on behalf of the U.S. Navy. It's interesting to note that Salvatore means savior and Pace means country or nation. In August of 2019, the U.S. Navy declared an anti-gravity hybrid air and underwater craft called HAUC is an operable, fully functioning device. On September 16, 2019, the U.S. military announced that UFOs exist. Well, for centuries, or decades rather, I thought it was the effect of Michigan swamp gas we were all seeing. Then on September 26, 2019, the U.S. Navy published a patent for a free energy compact fusion reactor which can generate a trillion watts for a 1,000-watt impulse. Add on a room-temperature superconductor, and you have a very busy summer for Salvatore and the Navy. He referenced David Wilcock. Of course, it may take a while to seep into our daily life. However, this is a monumental public first step. Non-polluting energy systems using nature's brilliance for our world. Wow, what a concept. This can occur when humans comprehend feelingly the way nature works. New Models paper continued. Michael Moore, please take note of all this and enact your healthy societal impulses to approach and beseech the Navy to share their knowledge for the upliftment of we, the planetary people, and the very health of this planet. Michael, you have the ear of the worldwide media. Please, we need your help. So the main question seems to be, what does one focus on? The collapse of old Earth or the creation of new Earth, celestial Earth? Traditionally, old Earth had its share of dark-hearted dominators. They had their day, however, they cannot and will not prevail. Nature's brilliance prevails always. I choose to align with the divine as best as I can. I am passionate about the primary energy geometries of existence, which can uplift the qualities of a community, large and small, large as in planet large. So all this brings up the thought, who are our heroes and heroines? Most definitely my heroes and heroines are spiritual scientists, particularly those with an artistic flair. I feel comfortable and secure with them as they emanate truth, beauty, and the good, which gives me hope, and at times I need it. know the sacredness of science. Study the science of the sacred. Know the sacredness of science. Study the science of the sacred. The spiritual scientists in my field of vision these days are Dr. Gabriel Cousins, Nassim Hadamin, Dr. John Hagelin, Dr. Stephen Greer, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Vandana Shiva, Rowena Petit-Kreider, Greg Braden, David Wilcock, and Avatar Bucky. If scientists are not moving toward the sacred, toward the spiritual, they are not really doing their job efficiently. Remember, enjoy life. It's enjoying you.
That's going to conclude this edition of Travelog Media. Look for new episodes every third Thursday. And if you speak Spanish, check for new episodes on first Fridays. I'll put a link in the show notes. Find Travelog Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and probably a few others. You can order t-shirts, mugs, tote bags, and more from the online store. Look for the link in the show notes.
And we will be, you know, since we're going to be talking in each episode about a different activist or book, we're going to have a feature quote on the store so you can get your tote and your t-shirt or whatever with that quote.
Yes, yes. So we can look forward to that. That's added bonus. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it. Que todo sea amor, walk tall, live free. Thank you.